A toast to the hunters from your friends at Grain Belt. May the mornings be clear and the fresh air be crisp. May you find solace in the silence. May the stillness settle your soul. May your long shot stay true. May your heart roam free. May you find what you seek in the fields you stock. May your call to the wild be answered. And at the end of the day, may you share in the thrill of the hunt with your friends. So here's to the 8-pointers and the 12-ouncers. Here's to you and to your thirst for adventure. Bring Grain Belt to the outdoors with our limited edition premium hunting season pack. This season, enter to win a hunting trip for two to Brown's Hunting Lodge, wherever you can find premium 12 and 24 pack cans. For more information, visit our website at grainbelt.com/hunting-trip.
Hi, everybody. Ron Shera here with another edition of a Minnesota Bound podcast. Hope you've been enjoying our podcast as we chit-chat about the great outdoors. Today, we have a very special guest and a very special topic as we are going to discuss one of the fastest growing segments in our great outdoors. And by segment, I mean folks who are discovering hunting, fishing, camping, boating, you name it. And joining me today is Linda Bylander, who is in charge of the Department of Natural Resource Program known as Becoming an Outdoors Woman. Linda, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, Ron. It's really great to be here with you.
Well, let me tell you, I have a special interest in what you do because, as you know, I have a couple of daughters who are who became an outdoors woman, I think, before there were, ever was a program because her dad dragged them out fishing and hunting. That be me. So my daughter Simone and Laura, as I like to say, Linda, they both have killed wild turkeys, so I can rest in peace now. But I don't think it's a secret that more and more women have discovered, say, fishing and hunting.
Correct. And you're kind of a unicorn, Ron. A lot of men of your age in that era did not teach their women outdoor skills such as hunting and fishing. And I'm an example of that. I'm older than your daughters. And we're very pleased to have Simone as part of our program. But my dad did not teach me to hunt. He gave me a 12 gauge, said, go ahead and shoot it. I ended up on my butt, you know, that kind of thing. Like, sure. That's why women don't hunt. So I think this program is really needed for women like myself and other women who have not learned to hunt from their fathers. It's just traditionally they have not learned that role. So good for you for passing that skill onto your daughters.
Well, you know, part of it, I don't want to sound like I'm any kind of a great outdoor guru, but I didn't have sons, okay? So if I wanted to have one of my children go with me, it was my daughters. But there was something else going there too, Linda. My mother and my mother's mother, my grandmother, both were avid fisher persons. In fact, my grandma always said, just call her a fisherman because that's what she does. But anyway, so I grew up with a mother, for example, who would sit on the banks of the Mississippi River for hours waiting for a bite, and she loved every minute of it. So for me to have a female, what would you call it, a female mentor into fishing, my mother was it, and so was my grandmother. And like I said, my daughters were my son, so to speak. So first we started fishing, and then did some hunting, and then of course I got into turkeys as a turkey nut. And before they could legally hunt turkeys, I would drag them out turkey hunting with me, and because I thought it was fascinating, thought they would find it fascinating, and they did. And so, you know, a short story, that's how I got involved. But I don't expect any medals for this or whatever. But so, Linda, you came into the outdoors the difficult way. Do you recall any of your first experiences as a woman with holding a gun in a pheasant field, or how did that happen?
Yeah, so I did grow up. My dad was a very strong conservationist, and I learned the meaning behind conservation and how hunters and anglers really helped the outdoors. But again, I didn't learn to hunt as a youth, and it was discouraged. But I did fish. Fishing was okay, and I just spent hours looking in the water. So I went to school for natural resources, and I came into the DNR as a Minocqua instructor, which is our fishing education program. So when I took over the Becoming Outdoor Woman program from Jean Bergerson in 2005, I had to learn how to hunt, and I learned through my own program. I learned how to shoot. I got firearm safety through my own volunteers. I learned to shoot shotguns and rifles through, you know, Betty Wilkins up there at Deer Day, the classes that we held. And I went on my first deer hunt on Betty Wilkins' farm up there in Mora, and it took me 2 years, and I shot a deer. One thing about women is once they do learn to hunt, and it's a harder skill to get into, but once they do learn, they tend to be very ethical hunters. Like, I had a perfect shot on that deer. I wasn't willing to shoot until I had a perfect shot. So I got my first deer up at Betty Wilkins' property. I tried pheasant hunting. I'm not very good at that. And then, of course, fishing. Fishing is something I do every year. So that's how I got into the program, was actually through my own volunteers to learn how to hunt. And that's
go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt.
Well, that's what's wonderful about our program. What's so unique about the BOW program, and how Dr. Christine Thomas, who started the program back in the early 90s, is that she wanted women to learn in a safe, non-intimidating, supportive environment. And that's what the BOW program is all about. And that's like how Simone helps us too. It's just, we bring in women and men instructors who are just willing to really sit down and work with women one-on-one to teach them those skills in that safe, supportive environment. Because it can be very intimidating learning how to shoot a gun or to go out hunting. So our program is just well designed to help women walk through those steps to become an angler, become a hunter, or the other skills such as biking and hiking and so forth.
Let's go back to the beginning of becoming an outdoor woman. I'm not sure how much you know about the very beginning, but was there a moment, was there an event that triggered the idea that Minnesota needed a program called Becoming an Outdoor Woman?
Yeah, so the history of the program, I mentioned Dr. Christine Thomas. She was out at University of Wisconsin, Stevens Point. She was a new instructor out there. She ended up becoming the dean of natural resources out there. But as a new instructor, she was an avid hunter and angler, and she looked around. You know, women make up 50% of the population, if not a little bit more. And why did women only make up like 9% of hunting and 30% of fishing? She didn't understand why women weren't getting into these skills. So she put together a conference looking at the barriers of participation for women. And during that conference, she found a variety of barriers, the traditions and cultural, you know, women stayed home and took care of the kids. Men went out in their hunting camps, the lack of equipment, the lack of clothing. And then she also found the lack of ability to learn skills in a safe, supportive environment. So she started the BOW program. The very first workshop was in 91 out at Wisconsin, Stevens Point. And what was really unique about this design was it wasn't just a hunting or fishing program. It was a third of the classes were hunting related, a third of the classes were fishing related, a third of the class were other skills, those non-consumptive skills like hiking and biking and geocaching, that kind of thing. And she did quite a bit of research on the program as well. So that was the very first program in 91, and it was just a huge success. And what she found is that the women who came to the program through her research, that even though they might not have picked up a gun during that program, they were exposed to other women who are so excited about the hunting, the shooting aspect, the fishing aspect. So those women's attitudes towards hunting and fishing changed to more positive, and their attitude towards the people that helped with the program, the agencies that help with the program, conservation groups, was more positive. Minnesota saw the success of the Wisconsin program back in 94, and they put together a steering committee. It wasn't the DNR at that time. But they put together a steering committee. Christine Thomas came out here and helped set up our first workshop, 95. Bruce Kerfoot up at Gunflint Lodge was the very first program for the bow program in Minnesota, a winter workshop up there. And since 95, we've just grown by leaps and bounds. It's been a very popular program here in Minnesota.
Do you have any idea how many women have gone through your bow program by now?
Oh my gosh. No, we're one of the largest bow programs. We had our first fall workshop since the pandemic just a couple weekends ago, and it filled within weeks. It was so popular. We had 70 women, 26 women wait list. It's hundreds of people. What's unique about bow is we have two large workshops. Our fall workshop that Simone was teaching a Learn to Pheasant Hunt class at with 70 women. But then we have, outside of those big workshops, we have individual classes where somebody will take out a group of women to learn how to pheasant hunt out in the field, where they'll take them out trap shooting and walking fields and so forth. So we have individual classes as well. So those are smaller. We keep those smaller because they're a mentor program. For example, this weekend, we're going to Cedar Creek at University of Minnesota to host our archery deer hunt for women. So it's a small program. We have a group of women, a group of mentors coming. It'll be a one-on-one mentored archery deer hunt for women out there this weekend. So we have the large workshops, then we have the individual classes as well.
So they're going to have to field dress their own deer, right?
Yes, that's part of it. So we have gotten deer, and the mentors walk them through, what do you do? How do you field dress that deer once you have it? And the same with, we had our mentored archery turkey hunt in May. That was my first program since the pandemic. It was just so much fun. But we showed the women how to field dress a turkey, how to just breast it out. And it was a great experience. So women, brand new archery hunters, got a turkey this year. That's pretty hard to do.
Gives me an idea, but maybe my daughter Simone and daughter Laura should start learning how to fillet their own walleyes. Maybe I don't know. Be a good idea. Linda, we have to take a little break here, but when we come back, we'll resume our conversation about becoming an outdoor woman. You're listening to the Minnesota Bound podcast. Back after this.
Our good friends at Kinetico. You know how much the Shirk family loves Kinetico water. We have it in our home, and now we've added it to our cabin life. And oh, what a difference it makes. You know, for as long as I can remember, we've dealt with that cabin water, that stinky, foul well water. After a painless 4-hour installation, we now have Kinetico soft water and also Kinetico's K5 drinking system. No more bottled water to try and make coffee in the morning. It's great drinking water right out of the K5 tap. Our laundry no longer smells funny, and Kinetico water cleaned up both our showers and the kitchen dishes. The world's most efficient, worry-free water system. Visit Kinetico.com to find a dealer near you and join the Kinetico family.
Did you know that a propane gas furnace lifespan averages 20 years, while electric heat pumps only last about 14 years? And propane furnaces work in all temperatures while delivering warm and consistent heat in your home. Why buy two heating systems when propane furnace can do it all? Lasts longer, works better, and costs less. These things and more are being done today with propane. The right energy right now.
Hewitt Docks, Lifts, and Pontoon Legs began in a small south central Minnesota town with a mission to make dock install and removal easier by inventing the Rolodock. Well, now the company has evolved to provide everything you might need to improve your lake time. In addition to the classic Rolodock or the new Ultra Dock system, Hewitt offers all-terrain staircases, gangways, canopies, and lifts, along with any accessory you might need. Celebrate 50 years of business with us. Go to HewittRad.com to enter for a chance to win a free dock and monthly prizes. Hewitt Docks, Lifts, and Pontoon Legs. Work hard, play harder. You deserve a Hewitt.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. Thank you for tuning in to our Minnesota Bound podcast. Our topic today is becoming an outdoor woman. And obviously, some of you are men. You're not going to become one. But this is a very interesting program. And joining me and talking about it has been Linda Bylander, who heads up DNR's program to become an outdoor woman. And Linda, we were talking about the early beginnings of this program and how fast it's grown. And but I can hear some grunchy old men now saying, "Oh, great, that's all we need are more people in the woods chasing deer, more people shooting our pheasants, whatever. Let them stay home and take care of the kids." How would you answer that?
Well, you know, women kind of control the kids, I think. This is just my personal perspective. And I have to tell you a story about three generations at our last workshop. But if you teach a woman to hunt and to fish, they will most likely get their kids involved. Just on a personal aspect, I have an only child, a son. He hunts and fish. I was in the deer stand the first time he shot his deer. And yet my husband's two kids from his first marriage do not hunt and hardly ever fish. I feel like if you get the woman involved in hunting and fishing, you're more likely to get the kids to come along with you to hunt and fish in the future. And we need those hunters and anglers to keep our traditions alive. It's such a great legacy in Minnesota to have those hunting and fishing passions, our traditions, and we need to keep those in Minnesota. We don't want to get to a point that hunting and fishing is looked at as wrong. So I think keeping the women involved keeps the kids involved and keeps the traditions alive. I also want to just tell you a really quick story. Our big workshop this past weekend up at Eagle Bluff, we had 70 women. But we had a woman who had come to the bow program, learned a bunch of outdoor skills. I followed her on Facebook. She does a lot of things. She started bringing her daughters, and then she kind of disappeared. And this last weekend, she showed up with her granddaughter. So as a mother who taught her daughter outdoor skills, and that daughter now is bringing her daughter. So three generations coming to a bow program. That if you get the women involved and passionate about the outdoors, they will make sure their kids will be passionate about the outdoors, which is good for all of us.
Yeah, that's a very interesting point. One I would not have thought of, but I did think of the fact that historically, and the way our Fish and Wildlife Management programs have been set up historically, and that is our license money, for the most part, pays for our wildlife management, pays for our fish management, and many DNRs all across the country have cried that the number of anglers and hunters are going down, and obviously then the license revenue goes down, and when that goes down, who's going to pick up the cost of managing these fish and wildlife resources? And just the fact that now women are being added to the license buyer list is a good thing.
It's a great thing. As long as we keep with that North American model of conservation, license buyers are needed to keep that management going.
Yeah, I'm not sure when we'll get off of that model. Maybe we shouldn't, I don't know. But anyway, so let's go on about first off, if people are listening to this and fathers have daughters, or if there's a lady listening to this and interested, how do they reach out to your Becoming an Outdoor Woman program? What do they have to do?
The best way for people to find the Becoming Outdoor Woman program is to come on to the DNR website, so mndnr.gov, and then you can, in the search bar, just put in Becoming an Outdoors Woman. Or if you want the website, it's mndnr.gov/education/BOW. But once you get to my BOW page, Underneath the hunting picture is a sign up for our e-newsletter. So what I'm doing now since the pandemic is every month I'm sending out a newsletter to whoever subscribes to my newsletter with what's coming up that next month. And we have programs not only for women, but also for families. We're advertising our Minnesota Outdoor Skills and Stewardship Series on that, and that's open to both men and women. So that's the best way to find us, is on the Becoming Outdoor Woman website on the Minnesota DNR webpage.
You could probably just Google Becoming an Outdoor Woman Minnesota and get there too, I'm sure.
Absolutely. Yep. And Becoming Outdoor Woman program is nationwide. There's about 30-some programs nationwide. But yep, just put in Minnesota and you'll come right to my site.
Is there a cost for this, a fee?
We don't try to make money off the women. What we try to do is offer a service for them to learn. So the fee is whatever the site is charging us for having that program. So there is a small fee depending on which program they're going to, but it doesn't come to the DNR. It will go to the site for like lodging, for food, example. So it's not very expensive.
Yes. So you mentioned earlier you had a grandma, mother, daughter combo there, I think it was.
Yep.
Are there some other moments where Becoming an Outdoor Woman program changed lives or maybe saved marriages or whatever?
You know, I've been with the program now for 20-some years. It's been just wonderful watching women learn these skills, always been wanting to learn and finally finding us and getting to learn. And as I might have said earlier, it's a small program. I'm a part-time staff with the DNR and I work with volunteers who are just passionate out there, like your daughter, to help women learn outdoor skills. So I have a ton of stories. I even remember when my son was little, I started the Becoming an Outdoor Family program. And we did a family program up at Mille Lacs Cathio State Park. And I had new immigrants from Russia, actually, join us. And it was just fascinating to hear them talk about how they work with their coworkers and they learned about this Minnesota tradition of hunting and fishing, but they knew nothing about it. They knew nothing about the park system in Minnesota. They came to my family workshop. And from that that exchange that we've had, then they came to our deer day up at Betty Wilkins Farm and learned how to deer hunt. And then the last picture I saw was he sent me a picture of him and his son with a goose. They went goose hunting. So it's just great. We have so many people come into our program that are new to hunting, new to our traditions, and it's fun to see them get their first critter out there.
If you're just joining us, we're chatting with Linda Bylander, who is with the Department of Natural Resources in Minnesota, talking about the Becoming an Outdoor Woman program, known shortly as, is it Bow or Bow?
Bow,
yeah. Linda, I would just say, as the father of two daughters, and I think other fathers can relate to this, whether it be a son too, but taking your own children out with you, whether you catch anything or don't, see anything or don't, but just being with them in a fishing or hunting pursuit, that's basically what I do, is so gratifying. It's just immensely gratifying. Then when they get a little older, and Simona's a crack shot, and she has her own dogs now, her own retrievers or labs, because she grew up with my labs. And Laura, I would take her fishing and we would try to catch bass on topwater lures. Well, now that's the only way she wants to try to catch a bass. I tell her, Laura, sometimes the bass aren't looking up, but she wants to try to catch them that way anyway. Loves throwing fake frogs into the lily pads. And then she discovered muskies and said, that's what she's going to do. So she's caught more, I think maybe more muskies than I have since. But I always kid her, I said, she started at the top. But what I'm getting at is it's just so gratifying to be out there with your sons or daughters. So, and it's, I think it's even special with daughters because they weren't expected to be out there. Am I talking too long?
No, also the other thing about being outdoors with your sons and daughters is the health benefits of just being outdoors. At this last workshop, we had an evening speaker about just all the health benefits of being in the woods, being around trees, being in the outdoors, away from screens and technology. It's so healthy for the kids. So I encourage everyone to take their kids out and learn to hunt. And then for adults, go ahead and come to my program and learn if you've never tried. One thing great about our program is when you are coming to our beginning programs, we have all the equipment for you. So you can try it without having to invest in the equipment.
All right, time to take a little break here as we talk to Linda Bylander about the Becoming an Outdoors Woman program. So stay tuned. We're going to investigate that more. Hang with us.
The Minnesota Historical Society. A message for you. Come visit historic Fort Snelling, Minnesota's first national historic landmark, a place where waters, people, and ideas have come together for thousands of years. Hear many stories told by many voices and learn more about how lives and history intersect in ways that are stirring, powerful, complex, and still relevant today. Whether revisiting your favorite parts of history or learning something new, it's waiting for you at historic Fort Snelling. Learn more at mnhs.org/Fort Snelling.
Hi there, Ron Shera here for Star Bank. If you're putting your money into mega banks down the street, who knows where that money's being used? Bank locally. Keep your money local with a community bank that actually cares about you, your family, your business, and your goals. Check out the bank we use at Minnesota Bound. Try Minnesota's own Star Bank. You can find them online at starbank.net. When you call Star Bank, you actually hear a real living person answering the phone. Star Bank has 10 convenient locations around Minnesota to serve you and all the mobile banking products that you need to manage your money. Check out all that Star Bank has to offer at starbank.net.
Remember, FDIC, an equal housing lender.
It's time to plan your fall hunt in North Dakota. Get this, with an estimated 3.4 million breeding ducks, North Dakota's central region is prime habitat for hunting waterfowl. In fact, right now, the state's breeding duck index sits 38% above the long-term average. And the water's up, too. The spring water index is up 616% over 2021. That's a good thing. Now, when you consider that North Dakota has approximately 700,000 acres of private land open to public walk-in hunting, guess what? You've got an outdoor oasis. For the latest information about public hunting lands and private land open to sportsmen and women, visit North Dakota Game and Fish Department. Bag your limit this fall in North Dakota. Visit legendarynd.com.
Hi, welcome back to our final episode here of Becoming an Outdoors Woman, the Minnesota Bound podcast for the day with Linda Bylander, who heads up DNR's program. Linda, just a couple more things. I love hearing your stories about how the BOW program changed women's lives or improved them or whatever.
I have a great story about just a large, large buck that was taken in our program. We offered our first women-only Learn to Deer Hunt program up at Itasca State Park. We had a special hunt. I had a woman come in. Her name was Teresa, brand new to hunting, and came. She's a Minnesotan, but she was living in Alaska, came back to Minnesota, wanted to hunt because she wanted to provide food for her family, organic type food for her family. Came to our hunt, first time hunter, was out in a stand, and she got a perfect shot at this huge buck. I can't even remember what the point system was on him. He was just massive. Perfect shot. And when we took the deer to get it tagged, one thing she kept saying, like everybody was just awing about her deer. And she said, well, don't they all look like that? That when she looks in magazines and they all look like that. And we're like, no, this is a trophy buck and you're so lucky. Well, anyway, it's just fun to see women get their first critter. That was just an exceptional one. And what was so unique about that, she was living in Duluth, a woman up in Duluth who's come to my archery deer hunt, Katrina, lives up there, reached out to me and said, give me Teresa's address and I'll welcome her into the archery hunting group up there in Duluth. So just those social connections of women who are learning and then they're reaching out to other new women. It's just a wonderful program.
Well, that it is. Thank you for the big buck story and the that too. And it reminds me, Simone just last weekend participated in a women's only goose hunt. There's a lot fewer Canada geese flying around this week, I can tell you that. But anyway, our time is up. Linda Bylander, want to thank you for joining us, talking about the Becoming an Outdoor Woman program, a very important one to get our ladies out in the outdoors. Because we all love it out there. So that about does it for the Minnesota Bound podcast. The stories behind the stories, brought to you by Kinetico Water Treatment Systems. We'd also like to thank Minnesota Historical Society, Minnesota Propane Association, Star Bank, Hewitt Docks, and North Dakota Tourism. Until next week, don't you forget to introduce a kid and a woman to the great outdoors.